Welcome to Elevate Your Energy Radio. This is episode number 95 with Nicole Jardim. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you? I'm so happy to be here.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Awesome. Very excited.
So Nicole specializes in helping women in their 20s and 30s reclaim their hormonal health and feminine vitality naturally. So today we'll be talking about periods. Yep, how to fix your period. So if you have any kind of hormonal imbalance, if you are on hormonal birth control, that's one of Nicole's passions. So we'll dive deep there. So stay tuned for that. Last episode, I had Dr. Jessica Drummond on, and we talked specifically about pelvic pain. So if that's something you're struggling with, go back to that episode if you missed it. Like I said, this is episode number 95, which I can't believe. My goal is to get to 100, and then we'll see what happens from there. So the show topics that I'm planning are medicinal mushrooms, which I'm fascinated by, CBD, the microbiome, epigenetics, and then one to be determined. So I have a few topics in mind, but if there's anything that you would like to hear, just contact me, Elevate Your Energy, on Facebook or on Instagram. So, Nicole, my guest here, is a women's health and functional nutrition coach, and she specializes in, like we said, hormonal health. So she started with the health coach training at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. When did you go, by the way? What year?
In 2010. It's been
Me
a
too.
Long time. Yeah.
Oh, that was so the cool. last year that they had the live training, right?
Totally. Exactly. That's why I did it.
Yeah. I did come to one of the weekends with Dr. Andrew Weil.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I remember he taught us that breath, you know, the 4-7-8 breath.
Yeah. Yes.
And I remember the other people, but now I can't. Joy Bauer from the Today Show. And...
Oh yeah, she was on there too. I can't remember.
Yeah. That was a long time ago. I can't believe it.
It was so long. Yeah.
So then you trained with Dr. Sarah Gottfried, who was actually my first ever guest on the show.
Oh, and amazing.
Then, yeah, Dr. Yeah. Jessica Drummond, who was our last guest, and then Chris Kresser. So what an amazing group of mentors you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. I have done some amazing training programs.
Yeah. So how did you get started on this path? And then what led you to specialize in women's hormones and periods specifically?
Yeah, it would go way back like 30 years. I had horrible period problems as a teenager. They were like basically the bane of my existence, the worst thing ever. You know how it is as a teenager. If you're like you get a leak, a period leak or something, you may as well leave the planet. That's kind of what was happening for me. I had really heavy, painful periods. And, you know, the type that would just keep you home from school, or if you went to school, you had on like a pair of shorts under your uniform just to make sure that, you know, you didn't leak. And so that was really what was happening for me. I had terrible mood swings. I would, like I said, I would stay home for a day or two out of the month because the pain was so bad. And I was at the point where I just didn't know what to do. And my mom had the same problems as a teenager, so she just thought it was all normal, and that's unfortunately what tends to happen, is that we normalize all of this. And so finally I went on the pill at 19, and the doctor was so funny. She was just like, okay, so what's happening? And I said, well, you know, like I have all these problems, plus I've started to not get my period every month. Like it only comes every 3 or 4 months. And so she immediately pulled her prescription pad out and wrote me a prescription for the pill. And I was psyched because I felt like I'd found my period panacea. It was going to be life altering for me. And it actually was.
Oh, wow.
It made me into a functional human being because I didn't feel like I was functioning properly for years before that. So it worked for me in that sense. And so I always say that to people, it didn't work, but it worked. So that's what happened. And then ultimately I was on it for about 5 years. And so, like I said, it quote unquote worked for a couple of years where I no longer had these heavy, painful periods and I could just, you know, go to school every month and it was no problem. And I didn't have to worry about leaks and this like really debilitating pain and these horrible mood swings and the anxiety and the weight gain. And what I didn't know is that it was turning off my ovulation and as such my endogenous hormone production. So that was a huge problem, but I didn't learn that until later on. And so that was really what led me on to the path of like reclaiming my health and ultimately really wanting to help other women do the same, because I had so many issues while on the pill. A couple years in, I sort of went from one end of the spectrum to the other, where I was starting to have no period every month, and I was just spotting, and then my hair was falling out, and my sex drive had just dropped to nothing, and sex like started to really hurt, and I had these chronic UTIs, and all of these issues started to crop up, and nobody ever connected it to the pill. And so I just saw a lot of different doctors and really went on a mission to try and figure out what was wrong. And it wasn't until I saw an acupuncturist who helped me connect the dots that I realized that the pill was actually connected to all of these seemingly unrelated problems. Mm-hmm. And that was when I decided that I needed to make some massive changes. And so that's kind of how I stumbled into this health and wellness world, because at the time I was doing film and TV productions. That was my dream. And then fast forward about 6-7 years, I decided to go to IIN and then specialize in women's health, because I'd seen someone speak at IIN who her work really resonated with me. And that's how I found Sarah Gottfried and Jessica Drummond. And that the rest is really history. But that's essentially in a nutshell how I got into this work.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So I know you're really passionate about talking about birth control. And I remember reading an article in the New York Times. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. And I can't remember now what exactly it said. I should have looked it up. But I think it was talking about the convenience of how, you know, women can now have periods like 4 times a year. And
oh gosh. Yeah.
I remember seeing your comment in the comment section.
Really?
Comment section. You know, you always learn something from there.
Yes.
And I can't remember now what exactly you wrote, but I remember thinking, wow, I just love how she so eloquently expressed her point of view. And I've actually wanted to interview you ever since then. So.
Oh my goodness. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
You never know if anybody actually sees those things, but I felt compelled to reply to that, to comment, because I was so annoyed by the whole article. Anyways, that's another story. So yes.
Yeah. So, So you talked about your personal story with birth control, but why would someone consider getting off the pill if they're on it? And we're talking about hormonal birth control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you talk, what is the issue with it?
Oh man, where do I begin? Okay. So I think the fundamental problem with it is that it's turning off a biological process that is very necessary for women. And that biological process is ovulation. And I think a lot of the problem here is that we have been taught to fear our bodies versus understand them and respect what is happening below the surface, so to speak. And as a result, we're handed this pill to essentially turn off our hormone production relatively fast. And that, of course, results in a whole cascade of hormonal problems. So what essentially is happening here is, for instance, I'll just use the pill as an example here, because I feel like there are other ones as well. Obviously, there's the IUD, and there's the NuvaRing, and there's the Depo shot. So there's a number of different ones. There's the implant. But with a pill, for instance, what happens is you're taking a pill, and a lot of the pills have synthetic estrogen and progestins, which are synthetic progesterone in them. And so that is technically replacing your body's production of them. So these hormones, these synthetic hormones, are now circulating throughout your blood, and it's essentially indicating to your brain, your hypothalamus, and your pituitary that you have enough of these hormones circulating so they don't initiate the process of ovulation. So essentially our body's like, oh, okay, we don't need these hormones and we don't need ovulation because something's already happening where you already have enough hormones. So that's really an issue, because I think ovulation is critical for women's overall hormonal health. When we don't ovulate, we are essentially not producing very much progesterone at all. It's the key for our progesterone production. Progesterone is that calming, soothing, anti-anxiety hormone. And if we don't have enough of it, then we end up in that chronically frazzled, I'm completely bent out of shape kind of situation state. And then for estrogen and testosterone, same thing. If we don't peak with those two hormones, and as a result, we don't ovulate, we don't ovulate, so we're not peaking. Those two hormones are not peaking. And what ends up happening is that our sex drive drops, our ability to lubricate, just our energy, our, you know, just our vitality more than anything. Our bone health suffers. There's so many components of our health that are impacted if we're not ovulating. So that's really, to me, the key reason why hormonal birth control is so problematic. I mean, there's so many other reasons, but that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, I know it also depletes minerals in your body.
Yes.
So how do you transition someone, or how do you, you know, if somebody wants to use birth control, not to regulate hormones, but to actually use it for birth control, what do you recommend instead? And, you know, how do you transition someone?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what I have found that women want to be an active part of their healthcare, and that in fact, what has happened over, forever really, is that women have sort of been taken out of the equation of their own healthcare, which is a huge problem, obviously, because that means that we're just treating everyone with a one size fits all approach and really not treating women with their actual unique needs in, in taking those into consideration. And so as a result, what I've found is that when I educate women on how their bodies actually work, they really want to learn more, and they want to understand how ovulation works, why it's necessary, how their period works, why different symptoms actually are indicative of underlying hormonal imbalances or things that are brewing below the surface. And so that's what I really start with. I start with educating them, and I explain why the pill will be so detrimental. And in fact, in many cases too, I will share stories of women who've come to me after having been on some form of hormonal birth control for a long period of time, and what they end up, you know, when they see actual physical evidence of what women, how their bodies are impacted in a negative way, they're like, oh, okay, all right, maybe I'll try something else. And so that's like the first step I start with. And the other thing is too, is again, like when it comes back to that education thing, I start to have them track their cycle and really pay attention to the signs and symptoms of their fertility. And when they start to see that and how incredible their bodies are, they're suddenly far more inclined to not turn that off, but instead really work with their cycles. So then I recommend something called the fertility awareness method. This is a form of birth control that I've used forever and ever. It's been well over a decade now. And it was technically what I used after getting off of the pill, because I had no idea what to do. Nobody was telling me. But essentially what it is tracking your signs of your fertility. So there's the method I use is a symptothermal method. And so that's basically symptoms of your fertility plus the taking your basal body temperature every morning. And so the basal body temperature is lower before ovulation and raises after ovulation due to progesterone production. And women, for the most part, are fascinated by this. Some are like, Nicole, you can't be serious. You don't want me to take my temperature every day, do you? And I have no interest in doing that. And so if they're not interested in that, or if they're transitioning off of birth control and they're really freaking out, I usually recommend something like the Daisy Fertility Monitor, which I've been using for a while too. And so that's something that you know, again, take your basal temperature, but it's going to indicate, it uses an algorithm. It'll indicate a green light for a safe day, a red light for a not safe day. So it's really, there are definitely options, and there's so much new technology coming out. There's another one called the Ava Fertility Bracelet. It's like a bracelet, you wear it at night, and that will tell you your fertile days. It's not meant to be used as birth control. Neither of these devices can be officially used as birth control, but that's essentially, you know, how I'm using them and how I recommend women to track their cycle and manage their fertility.
And what's the most common hormonal imbalance you see? And do you see it due to being on birth control for a long time, or is that a separate issue?
Yeah, I think that this is twofold. I would say the most common hormonal imbalance I see is a condition known as estrogen dominance, or estrogen dominance in relation to progesterone. And what people don't realize is that estrogen can be dominant over progesterone, even if you've been on the pill for a really long time and your estrogen is like super low. Just all that means is that in relation to your progesterone, it's high. So I see that, and I see it in various situations. I'll see it in a woman who has very low levels of hormones, which I find is essentially what happens after coming off the pill. Mm-hmm. A lot of women are, you know, they go on the pill and their hormones are totally out of whack, but they're at, you know, they're, and they're probably just a little bit too high or a little off, you know, off balance, but then they come off and they're almost menopausal. I certainly was. My hormones barely registered on the Richter scale. They were just like on the hormone, balance, sort of on my hormone tests. It was really sad. I mean, I was like a flat line, and I see that a lot. And then on the flip side of that, I see when women aren't necessarily on the birth control pill, I see a lot of like estrogen just being super high in relation to their progesterone. And the reason for that a lot of the time is our inability to detox estrogen effectively, partially related to our gut health and our liver function, as well as just the environmental chemicals that mimic estrogen. We have such a problem with this now, and I feel like it's almost underreported and under talked about in a way, but that I think is a huge problem as well. Whether it's our makeup and skincare, or it's the something in our water that we're drinking or eating, but that I think is, it's a multifactorial thing. So there's either too high estrogen or really too low estrogen. That's what I see most.
So when somebody transitions off birth control with you, and I know that you have online programs that, you know, you help people through this process, but so how do you get the body to kickstart that again when the body has shut off production of hormones?
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's what I think we run into continually, is the fact that there is no one size fits all for this. Mm. Women are always saying to me, Nicole, can you just help me get my ovulation back on track? Can you just help me get a period again? How can I fix my low progesterone? And I'm like, ladies, this stuff is all connected. There's, you know, there's such a huge interplay happening underneath it all. And we don't even realize, which is why I'm so big on educating women about how their bodies work. We just sort of mindlessly eat or take our pills or whatever it is every single day. And, you know, this is no fault of anyone, really. It's just what we do. It's, we're like just trying to get through life. But as a result, we don't really have an understanding of how that's impacting us on a deeper level. And so what I have found is that it takes a, it's a nuanced approach. And so for women, when they have been on the pill, it depends how long, first of all, how long you've been on it. Because for someone who's been on it for a year versus 15 years, it's going to change things. So I really like to set expectations first, because I think we need some context as to how long it takes our bodies to recover from something like this. And, you know, interestingly, I want to say this too, because some women are fine on the pill. I mean, not fine, but they're okay. Like yeah. They're, you know, they're not having detrimental effects like what I had. Whereas others, you know, have immediate side effects where like 6 months in, they've lost their period completely and they have no libido anymore. And you know, it's a crisis. Whereas others can go for years and they're like, oh, I'm fine. So what I want to say is that this again is a testament to our unique biology and the fact that all of our bodies are so different. So I remember in Sarah Godfrey's training, actually, there was a conversation around women's bodies and how they respond to the pill. And so this doctor, his name's Andrew Goldstein, he works a lot with women who have been on birth control. But he was talking about the fact that some women's bodies are like Hummers and some women's bodies are like hybrids, and which means that some women's bodies actually guzzle hormones, whereas others just sip hormones, meaning that we have like either very ineffective receptors or very effective receptors. And I'm pretty sure that I have ineffective receptors, or I did, because I clearly was not getting enough of the hormone that I needed in order to function at a decent level. Whereas other women, like I said, can just sort of skate on through using the pill for a long period of time. So ultimately, it comes back to so much of our unique biology. So how long have you been on it? How have you felt while you were on the pill? Was it catastrophic or was it kind of just okay? And what I like to say to women is, if you've been on it for, say, 10 years, give yourself 1 to 2 months for every year you were on it to really recover and see change. You might likely see it sooner, and that's great. But I feel like it's really important for women to understand that, you know, this is kind of a long game and it's going to take some time. And again, too, we're at a time in our lives where women have never been on the birth control pill for this long of their lives, ever, really. I feel like it's unprecedented. And so as a result, and not only that, not from the age that they've been on. So we've had girls who are put on it at like 11, 12, 13, which yeah, I know, is completely stopping our hypothalamus, our pituitary, from communicating with our ovaries. It's stopping, development of our endocrine system and those conversations that are supposed to be happening throughout puberty. That's a huge problem, and we're not even taking that into account. So all of those things considered, like I said, I give women 1 to 2 months for every year they've been on it. And in my experience, I would say like 3 to 6 months. And really what we need to do, like you were talking about earlier about depletion of certain vitamins and minerals, like that's pretty crucial. And I think that we need to know that. So OCPs can deplete magnesium and selenium and zinc and phosphorus. Those are well known, as well as B6 absorption. Vitamin B6 is pretty crucial for our women's functions, generally speaking, our menstrual and reproductive health. And so there's other things too that I think can get depleted because it can have an effect on our gut health as well. In fact, it predisposes us to conditions like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. I know, right? It's kind of terrifying when you think about that. And I've seen that anecdotally, but inflammatory bowel disease is definitely connected now as well. And also, I think vitamin C and E, those are vitamins that are specifically affected too. So what I found is that we're so depleted once we come off of birth control, and we really just need to figure out how we can start to rebuild, so to speak. And so that's really where I start with clients for the most part.
Wow, that's a lot.
That was a lot.
I love it. No, this is great. I want to go back to something you mentioned about some of the things that cause hormonal imbalances. You know, I've talked a lot on the show about environmental health and all that stuff, and I did a show with Stacey Malkin a couple years ago. She wrote, I can't remember the name. It's like The Dark Side of the Beauty Industry or Dark Side of Beauty.
Oh, yes.
But it was a couple years ago, and nobody was talking about that. And I feel like now, you know, it's like 5 years later, and people are actually talking about this. You know, there are so many more brands out there talking about this, which I love. So usually I don't talk about that kind of stuff on the show, like specific brands, but I'd love to hear like what you use for skincare, for makeup, you know, and just kind of how you work with your clients on hormonal imbalances when it comes to your environment.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I think that obviously it's really helpful to set a precedent and an example for clients. And actually, this is kind of how I got into the industry in the beginning, because I must have been, I think I still am, pretty chemically sensitive, or I had chemical sensitivities. And I remember moving into a condo that I bought in my mid-20s and really wanting to paint with low VOC paint and use all these different products that didn't have an effect, or weren't off-gassing, things like that, didn't have an effect on my respiratory system, because I remember switching a number of years ago to at least the green cleaning products, because I would get a headache every time I cleaned my bathroom and I didn't know why, and then I figured it out. And so that was the first step that I took. And then I remember wanting to do the caulking around the bathtub, and the back of this product said, it, you know, causes cancer in California, or as determined by the state of California. I'm like, you guys are way ahead of us. But anyway, I had never seen that before. And I was like, so why does California get to have those regulations and we don't in Florida? That makes no sense to me. And so that's what sort of drove me to find all of this information out. And I almost wanted to start a business around eco-friendly home products, because I was so impressed by the cool products that were on the market. And this was like well over 10 years ago. So it was just, there was not a lot out there. But that really got me into figuring out like what I was going to use on my skin and in my hair and all that. And recently I found a company called Beauty Counter. I use a lot of their products.
Me too.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah, you look great. And so I use a lot of those products because I have found them to be just really high quality and they work really well. I also use Tarte Cosmetics. I've used them for years. Oh, look
at
that.
That's my powder.
Mascara. Yes, and my powder. Exactly. So they are really amazing as well. I've loved using their products for so many years. They were one of the first on the market, actually, to, I think, market themselves as more of an eco-friendly green product company. And then, you know, like I said, Beauty Counter, Tarte, and Anne Marie Skincare as well. Emery Gianni skincare. Her products are incredible. I think you can even eat them. So those are my go-tos. And then of course, like, I'm a big fan of getting the plastics out of our environment. Like, we have got to do that. I feel like plastic is overtaking our world. We're literally choking on it. It's ridiculous, literally. And so I'm a big fan of reusable, not plasticware, but I use bamboo reusable forks and knives, and, you know, when I'm traveling. And I use these silicone bags that replace plastic bags. And there's beeswrap for saran wrap. I use all of these different products now because I'm really trying so hard to reduce my plastic load. And I'm a big fan of making sure that my clients do the same thing too, because we have so much more control over our environment than we actually think we do. Yeah. But we just don't realize these things exist. So those are some of the things that I do that I think are helpful. Yeah. And water as well too. Water filters. I use a Berkey. I feel like everyone should have a decent water filter. If you can afford to, you know, spend the money, I highly recommend it, because again, our water is somewhat contaminated.
Yeah. What do you use for hair care? That's one, like, all natural ones. I mean, I keep using all of them and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's just not. These don't work as well.
The struggle is so real. I really struggle with this. I know, it's so hard. That, I think hair care and deodorant are like everyone's biggest complaint. And I feel like I found the right deodorants. There are two that I've been using. One's Piperway. They were on Shark Tank. I feel like they've really blown up. So that's a decent one. And then the other one, I can't remember what it was. I got it at like a Gwyneth Paltrow event that she did in New York a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good too. But the hair care is a struggle. Like, I use a Beauty Counter shampoo and conditioner, and I found out of all of them that those work pretty well for me. But sometimes I'm like, oh, this is just not good. And I don't know. I find a lot of women say this too with their hair, that they have to alternate between different products throughout the year. I feel like I try four different shampoos and conditioners throughout the year. I've tried a bunch. I've literally never stuck with one.
Yeah.
I'm not a good example for this.
I've been using Avalon Organics, but I feel like I have four different ones and I just cycle through, and I don't know.
I couldn't use Avalon. It just it wouldn't work for me. I know.
Yeah, I haven't tried the Beauty Counter shampoo though. But deodorant, I love Green Tidings. Get that one off Amazon. And then there's another one. I can't think of the brand right now, but I got it at Expo West and it has prebiotics in it.
No kidding.
Else, I'll have to, when I upload the video, I'll have to put it on there because I'm not going to go run and get it right now. But
yeah.
Yeah. But I think deodorant's a big one. I feel like I've been using natural deodorant for at least like 10 years. And I just, now I would never go back. Like, I just can't imagine putting that on my body. So.
No, seriously. Me neither.
Food-wise, let's talk about food for hormonal balance. I know I've talked about this so many times on my show, but what are some of your, you know, tips, tricks that you like to do besides just eating, you know, cleaner food and, you know, fruits and vegetables and all that?
Totally. I think that for so many of us, again, because of the estrogen dominant problem or the problem of having too much estrogen in relation to our progesterone, I'm a big fan of the cruciferous veggies and leafy greens, and a lot of healthy fats. I know that I feel like I talk about this ad nauseum, but I don't think people really understand like how little leafy greens they're getting into their diet. And the cruciferous vegetables for sure are a big part of what I recommend, as well as fiber. Like, what we don't realize is that so many of us are fiber deficient. We get like maybe a quarter of the fiber that we actually should be getting. And so I'm always telling women, like, let's focus on that, so that when your liver breaks down estrogen into its metabolites and it's sent to the digestive tract or to the colon to be excreted, it actually gets excreted. Whereas, you know, if you're constipated, what's going to happen is the estrogen is just going to recirculate back into your bloodstream. That's a huge problem for us because those metabolites are far more harmful than regular old estrogen is. So that's where I start with women, is we focus on just like getting your food okay, like getting it to the point where you feel like you have a foundation of, like I said, the dark leafy greens, the cruciferous veggies every day in your diet, as well as lots of healthy fats to support your hormone production, and protein. I've run into a lot of people recently who are vegan and, you know, really all throughout the last couple of years since I've been doing this work, but more recently a lot more. And I've just found over and over again, at least in my experience, and this is not to knock any diet, but I just find that unless we have a lot of women at least have animal protein in their diet and animal fats, that it's really difficult for them to get their hormones into a balance that works for them. That's just, again, my personal opinion. So I found that those are really helpful ways to start to get back on track. Also, too, blood sugar balancing. I have a program called the Fix Your Blood Sugar Protocol because that is so critical for our hormonal health. We don't realize how that cookie is actually impacting our period or our fertility or the 10 cookies. You know, it's not like just one cookie ever.
No,
really,
never.
Is it? Never. So that's really, I think, so critical for us. Like, we don't even realize how many different things in our environment, in our lives, impact our blood sugar. And then our blood sugar is all over the place. And then that raises our insulin. Our insulin actually makes a switch in our ovaries from producing estrogen to producing more testosterone. This is a trigger for polycystic ovarian syndrome. We don't even realize that. We don't even know what's happening. So many of my girls say to me, I eat so well. I cannot believe I have this blood sugar issue happening right below the surface and I had no idea. And that's the case, right? We just don't even realize if we're carb sensitive or not. And the only way to really figure that out is to actually like prick your finger and find out like how you're responding to meals. So I do a lot of that work with women too, because I think that understanding this basic, underlying component of how our hormones function is so, so crucial. Also too, like, lots of omega-3s because our omega-6, omega-3 ratio tends to be so out of balance. And so I'm a big fan of like the salmon and the mackerel and the anchovies and the sardines and the herring and the pastured eggs as well, because those have omega-3s too. But those kinds of fish into our diet too, I think are so critical. And then too, like, what's going on with your vitamin D? I always ask that. I always ask women to get tested to figure it out, because of course it plays a role in so many different processes in our bodies that, again, that seem quite unrelated, but that we need to have those, I think, in place personally, so that we can function, our hormones can function at their best. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about.
I want to go back to two of them. Second being the blood sugar, if I forget. So can you talk specifically about how dark leafy greens and cruciferous veggies have an impact on hormone balance? Maybe it's just, because I like the science, but I think it's helpful for people to understand, because it's like, yeah, I know I need to eat veggies, but it's like, why that for hormones?
For sure. Well, like I was saying, I think women are, we're so depleted, right? Because I talk about this thing called a stress threshold. And it's the idea that we each have our own stress threshold, say that fast three times, and that we constantly end up pushing past it, as women especially, just because this is what we do. This is life. It's crazy. And we're all just trying to keep up. Some of us are in survival mode practically all the time. And so we have, like I was saying before about birth control use, I feel like it's unprecedented how much stress and chronic overstimulation play a role in our lives. And as a result, we're, like I said, constantly pushing up against that threshold and pushing past it. And we don't even realize that it's happening until the alarm bells are going off and we've suddenly developed a horrible cold, or we have a migraine, or we have horrific period pain that we didn't have last month or the month before. So there's these warning signs. I feel like they're the subtle warning signs that we mostly ignore. And then there's alarm bell signs that show up. And so what I've found is that we're being pulled in so many different directions that it's all of it is depleting us on a cellular level. And so when it comes to something like leafy greens, you're going to get the most bang for your buck if you have a cup or two cups of those, like cooked leafy greens a day, because they're so nutrient dense. They're like nutrient powerhouses. And that's really what we need in order to create the resiliency in our bodies for when there's like a very stressful situation happening, whether that's a physical issue or a work issue or a relationship problem. There's so, like I said, so many ways that we're being pulled in so many different directions. So that, and then the cruciferous vegetables. So cruciferous veggies are amazing because they contain a couple of different compounds. So one of them, it's basically called diindole methane or DIM. And then there's sulforaphane glucosinolate, so SGS. So those come from IC3 or I3C. And that's like the main ingredient in the cruciferous veggies. So these are breakdowns. And you can take them in supplement form, but who wants to do that when you can actually eat some asparagus? And I have found that those are super supportive in helping us break down estrogen into metabolites so that it can then be excreted by our bodies rather than it just recirculating. So that's, you know, that's why that we need to have these veggies in our diets and why I tell women, like, try and get like 1 to 2 cups a day if you can.
Yeah. Awesome. And then the blood sugar thing, it's so funny. You mentioned, you know, pricking yourself and like actually testing.
Yes.
And I first learned more or like about blood sugar balance from Datis Karazian. I did the APEX seminars back in like 2011 or so. And I'm like, oh, I should test that sometime, you know? And it's now like 7 years later, I've never done it. So, but do you, is it something like where you test after every meal?
Yeah.
Just to kind of learn how your body responds to it? Okay. What do you use for that?
It's actually amazingly insightful. So essentially what I do is I'll have everyone buy just a regular diabetes glucometer and the strips and the testing and the little pricky things. It's excellent. I don't even know the word for that. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to test your fasting blood sugar. So that's when you wake up. Yeah. And then you're going to test your blood sugar again right before you eat. And then right after you eat. And then 15, 30, 45, and 60 minutes after you eat. Because what happens typically is that the testing is so basic for the most part. Normally. And so as a result, we end up missing our blood sugar spike. And then we don't really have the data that we need. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do the 15, 30, 45, 60 minute increments. And that way, what I see a lot of the time is, or what you should be looking for is fasting blood sugar between 75 and 85 or 70 and 85. And then you really don't want it to go above 125. That's really where I think it's like we get into the danger zone and you don't want it to go more than 20 to 25 points above the fasting once you've eaten, like that spike that you get. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the time we have no clue what is happening. And so we're in the 140s and the 150s a lot of the time. And so this is essentially the way to catch that spike and see what actually is happening.
I love that. Okay. I need to get on that.
Girl, you got to get on it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is like a cool experiment, right? How long do you track it? Like for like a week or like a day?
Yeah. I only recommend like 7 days. Honestly, okay. I've done it so many times now. I just did a challenge with some of the women in my program because I felt like they really needed to understand this. And I was 3 days in and I was like, I cannot prick another finger. This is so bad. A lot of people are so freaked out by that, but you can definitely alternate how deep the thing pricks your finger. So that's good. And you really need such a tiny little bit of blood.
Right.
So that's a good thing too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Very cool. What was I going to ask about that? Oh, I'd be curious to see how coffee affects me. I have like a love-hate relationship with coffee. You know, I feel like I am is it a fast metabolizer if you don't do well with it or slow?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like I feel good with it and then sometimes I don't. And so I'm really curious how it affects my blood sugar. I know some people for hormonal health are like anti-coffee and then a lot of people are like pro-coffee. What's your take?
Oh man. I feel like I don't take a hard line on anything. I mean, yes, not on anything, but on things like that. And the reason I don't is because, again, right, there's fast metabolizers and slow metabolizers. Mm-hmm. So we're all so different. And then our circumstances are really different as well in many cases. So a lot of the time, I actually have never drunk coffee. I hate it. I hate the taste of it. I like the smell. I know. I'm a weirdo. I know. But I've just never had an affinity for it. So I don't have a problem with this kind of addiction. However, I see a lot of anxiety and just complete basket cases for women.
It definitely exacerbates it for me.
It really does, right? And sleeplessness or inability to fall asleep and stay asleep and then get up in the morning and do it all over again. And so when I see those signs, I'm like, okay, lady, you might want to consider taking this out of your diet and just see what happens. And like slowly but surely you can substitute. But I also feel like you can use coffee in almost a medicinal way, in that if you're, you know, it depends how you consume it. So if you're rushing out of your house and you're running to Starbucks and you're going to get a venti whatever coffee, and you're going to then race off to work, and then you get into work and your boss is like already freaking out on you, that's a whole different scenario to sitting down, kind of like what you're doing right now, chatting, and just drinking a cup of coffee very slowly, reading the newspaper, although we don't do that anymore. But you know what I mean? Yeah, like whatever, reading the newspaper on your iPad. Then doing what the first scenario, girl in the first scenario is doing. So I think that we really have to take our circumstances into consideration too. And ultimately, the decision really comes down to the person who is drinking the coffee. If they feel like their symptoms are now unbearable and something needs to give, then I'm like, okay, then that's what needs to give. And you really need to experiment with this and really ultimately decide like what's right for you. Right. And you're going to find something else that is going to work just as great. It might not be as awesome as coffee, but you have to take, I think you just have to put precedence on your health and what your long game is.
I'm actually drinking a matcha latte. It's not coffee, just so you know.
I can't totally see it. I figured, I was like, oh, she's sipping something from a mug.
It's not like one of those fancy matcha lattes. It's literally like matcha powder with mostly hot water and some full fat coconut milk. But I just have to give a plug for Mountain Rose Herbs. I don't know if you drink matcha at all, but you know, the powder is so expensive.
Yes, I know, but I wish I could drink this stuff, but it tastes like dirt.
Oh.
I know.
I think that's what my mom said, like, too. She's like, it tastes like grass or something. I kind of like it. I guess I like it a lot.
Funny.
But anyway, Mountain Rose Herbs sells it in a much bigger jar, like 3.5 ounces, and it's on sale this month, or there's a discount for April, but it's so much less expensive, and it's organic than the one I was buying from Thrive Market. So just wanted to throw that out there.
That's good.
So you have, just for anybody listening, if you want to get more of Nicole, she has an amazing frequently asked questions page on her website, just with literally, gosh, there must be like 40 or 50 or more questions here that you've, you know, written long blog posts about. So that's awesome. I want to talk about a few more things. I just noticed on here you have something about seed cycling, which I wanted to ask you about. I've never tried it. I think it's come up on my podcast before.
Can
you talk about that and how you use it and, you know, like when somebody would consider doing it?
Totally. I used seed cycling a really long time ago when my period was still slightly irregular after coming off of the pill. And I then started to incorporate it with clients who had also come off of hormonal birth control and had very irregular cycles. So that's where I found the most use out of it, is when women have irregular ovulation, regular ovulation, and as such have irregular menstrual cycles. And what I found is that seed cycling is a process where it really just helps your cycle get back on track. And so essentially what seed cycling is we're alternating the consumption of a variety of seeds throughout like a 28-day period. So the first half of your cycle, so that would be day 1 to day 14, you're taking pumpkin and flax seed. And so what you do is grind them up, and you just take like a tablespoon of pumpkin and then a tablespoon of flax. You can add them to a salad. You can add them to yogurt. You can do whatever with them, really. And then in the second half of your cycle, so day 15 to day 28, you're taking sesame and sunflower seeds. Same deal. You're grinding them up. Make sure these seeds are all organic, that they're raw. And do that for like 2 to 3 cycles and see what happens with your cycle. But what I found is that not only irregular cycles, but women with low levels of sex hormones like estrogen and progesterone and testosterone in particular, see the most remarkable results. And their hormone levels definitely go up. A lot of women who had low sex drive find that it really helps improve that. It's helped improve their energy. Like I said, their ovulation becomes more irregular. A lot of women who have very light periods actually have heavier and longer periods, which, you know, a lot of women want if they have very short light periods. So those are the signs that the results I've seen from seed cycling that I think are pretty remarkable.
How does it work? Like, what's the science behind it?
So, well, I don't know that there's any science per se. I mean, I don't think they've really done any science or any like, I suppose, any kind of like scientific studies on it. But essentially, in like, we've got pumpkin and we've got flax. And so the flax seeds have lignans, which are fatty acids that are really helpful in supporting hormone production. The pumpkin seeds are high in zinc, for instance. That's one. They're high in a lot of other minerals too, but zinc in particular, which is very supportive in that first half of your cycle. So it's the ingredients and the fact that you're taking these seeds every single day. A lot of people don't eat seeds at all. They don't, and they're very deficient in these minerals. So that tends to be the problem. And so as a result, this is really working on not only building these sex hormones, but also it helps. There's a lot of fiber involved too, so it really helps to eliminate any of those excess metabolites that may have been building up. And then same thing for sesame and sunflower seeds too. So those are going to support the progesterone production in the second half of the cycle. And essentially, same deal. Like, they're all uniquely high in certain vitamins and minerals, mostly minerals. And again, we're so mineral deficient. So that's why I think it works personally, because we're incorporating food that we typically don't eat and that are high in certain minerals.
Awesome. Yeah. One more question for you, because I always love talking about supplements, because I've worked in the supplement industry for so many years. I just love them. So one of my favorite supplements for regulating your cycle is Feminescence. I noticed you talk about Vitex on your website as well. Like, what are some of your favorite things? Obviously food first, but then what are some other things you like to use?
I really love a B complex. I kind of think every woman should be taking it at this point. I just feel as though we're, again, so deficient, and we need to make sure our bodies are nourished properly so that we can thrive in our lives. So B complex is really critical, and that will include all the Bs as well as B9, which is folate, and B12. And then magnesium is a favorite of mine as well. I use magnesium citrate and sometimes magnesium glycinate, but I really prefer the citrate. Sorry. And then I also really love cod liver oil. I use the Rosita Real Foods cod liver oil. I always recommend it. I feel as though we don't have access to foods, or we don't consume foods anymore that are high in vitamin A, in that usable form of vitamin A, and cod liver oil is one of those foods that really has that, as well as vitamin D too. So it has that in it as well. So yeah, the B complex, magnesium, and cod liver oil are like my go-tos. And then I also use a product for supporting my liver detoxification. So it has N-acetylcysteine in it. It has a couple of other ingredients too. So that's like, I feel like that's my go-to. I don't feel like we need to over-supplement. I think there's a tendency to do that. And I constantly tell women, like, you can't out-supplement a bad diet, because that's just facts. And so ultimately we have to figure out our foundation first and then sort of use supplements, almost like I was saying about coffee, in a medicinal way. Mm-hmm. And if you use too many of them, it's really difficult to figure out what's working and what isn't working.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Cool. So I just want to give you a chance to talk about some of the programs on your website. I know you do an apprenticeship, because I know that I do have some health coaches and practitioners who listen to the show. And then you have some programs just for anybody looking to balance hormones. So just share that with us.
Yeah. So I have my signature program is my Fix Your Period program. And that's an e-course that you can buy all year round. But I also offer it in the fall as a live group program. And then I do have my apprenticeship program too, where, sorry, got a tickle in my throat. The apprenticeship program is a 5-month live group program where women who are coaches or other practitioners who are interested in women's hormonal health get together with me, and we do a whole immersive program where they learn from me and from other guest experts too. So it's an amazing program. And then for the other smaller programs that I have a Ditch Your Birth Control protocol, a Fix Your Blood Sugar protocol, and a Fix Your Period cleanse. And so these are just smaller options for people who are kind of interested in figuring out what's going on with their hormones and want to dip their toe in.
Awesome. And what's the website for that?
Yeah, so it's my name. It's NicoleJardim.com, and you can find them all on my programs page.
Awesome. Well, Nicole, yeah. This was so much fun. Thank you yes. so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really great.
Awesome. Well, I will see you guys next time. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to check out ElevateYourEnergy.com.